Thank you, Michael, for those songs today. The lesson is about Jesus, and I texted Michael earlier this week and asked him if he would lead for the invitation, number 184. There's something about that name, and he says, sure, I've got to learn it first. And I love that attitude, you know, just sure, I'll do it. Only one small thing, got to learn it. Want to welcome our visitors. Please consider yourself a special guest of ours. We're glad to worship with you. Nice to see our friends from Bullhead City again. Been here numerous times. Have a few prayer requests. Pray that I don't start coughing through the lesson tonight or today. Melaine requests prayers for guidance, that she's facing a very difficult time at work. Let her, you know, please guide her in her words and actions, she says, and help me act in a positive way to support her team and a positive outcome. You know, that's one way at work and in our neighborhood that we can let our light shine.
Amen.
Is with our co-workers, you know, that we're different than everybody else, you know, in the workplace. Marilyn is thanking everybody for the prayers for her cousin Jim. They were very grateful to find out recently, this past Thursday, that he is cancer-free. He'll still have to go through a number of follow-up treatments over the next 9 months. But what a wonderful blessing that, you know, the doctors at one time thought he had less than a year to live. And either that or severely radical surgery. And she thanks everybody for the prayers and asks for continued prayers. We need to remember Kent Cheshire in our prayers. He is having neck surgery Friday. And so sounds like the same surgery Stacy had a couple of years ago, and he'll be in the hospital. I tell you, it's amazing what they're... You think neck surgery, you'd be in there laid up for you know, months. Going to be overnight. But, I mean, the recovery is quite long. And also, LaGaia requested prayers for a cousin of hers, Carlo, who was vacationing in Hawaii and had a stroke. And he's in a coma, and he's only 35 years old. And so we will go to God on behalf of these. And also just remember each other, our brothers and sisters at this time, you know, in your daily prayers. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for the avenue of prayer, that we can come before your throne and open our hearts and minds to you, even though you already know what we need and want. It's an opportunity for us to be able to come before our Creator. Dear God, there's a few that we specifically come to you now for. We ask you to be with Kent as he is preparing for surgery. We ask that you be with the doctors and nurses that will be tending him, that the surgery goes well and that it will help alleviate the problems he's been having, and that it will fix the problem. We pray for a speedy and full recovery for him. We also pray for LaGaia's cousin, Carlo. Please be with him. Be with the doctors that are treating him. Dear God, we don't know what the outcome will be, but you do, and we ask that you be with him, comfort the family at this time, and help LaGaia maybe be able to say words of encouragement for the family. Dear God, we ask that you be with Melaine, especially at work. Please help her. Let her light shine and encourage her, strengthen her to act right, speak right, and have the right attitude with the people at work And that goes for all of us as we deal with struggles. Sometimes people are challenges, and we need extra help with that. We ask that you be with her and help her through this situation. We also, dear God, rejoice that Marilyn's cousin, Jim, that the treatments he's had, that he's now cancer-free. We hope that he remains that way, and we're so thankful that he's been given a measure of health that is so much better than the original diagnosis. Dear God, we ask that you continue to be with us during our lesson as we continue our worship to you. We hope everything has been pleasing and acceptable to you. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're just going to have to deal with my... Thank you. I think I'd choke on it if I appreciate it. The title of the lesson is There's Something About That Name. The focus is going to be on Jesus today. We're going to strictly look at Scripture. You know, some people, their name stands out above others. You know, our names identify us. Our names describe us sometimes. Some people have developed a reputation that you say a name and they have, you associate them with that, you know, a certain quality. We develop a reputation. I remember my dad stressing, you don't just represent you, as I was growing up, that your actions, your behavior, you're representing the family. And names represent bigger pictures. And it develops a reputation. I want us to focus on Jesus today. It is simply looking at some scriptures. In Matthew 1:21, it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's while he was an infant. And we could stop right there. The lesson could be yours. We could offer the invitation right now that he will save his people from their sins. Talk about something that representing and representing something good and a reputation. That's what we think of when we think of Jesus. In Matthew 16, Jesus and his disciples were in the area of Caesarea Philippi, and it was steeped in idol worship and so forth. And Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, the prophets. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter responded in verse 16. He says, Simon Peter answered and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. Jesus hadn't died yet, but Peter recognized the fact that Jesus is this Savior. In fact, that's what Andrew told Peter when he ran to him that day. After hearing Jesus and seeing Jesus with John the Baptist, Andrew runs to Peter and tells him, we found him. We found the Messiah. And now Peter makes that great confession that you are the Christ. It's the same confession every one of us makes before we are baptized. It's that confession that Jesus told people to make in Matthew 10:32. That whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. And if you don't confess, I won't confess you before my Father. That's the confession, that name, Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In John 8, Jesus is talking with the Jews, and he's been in a long discourse about Abraham and the fulfillment and your Abraham's seed and all of this. And they're criticizing him. You know, you're not even 30 years old. And how are you, you know, around, how do you know about Abraham? And Jesus said in verse 58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Just I am. And we talked, I think, used this verse last week, focusing on the emphasis of the power of Jesus. In Revelation, Jesus, through the Apostle John, said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. I've got a couple of things that I would be identified with. You know, if us, we wrote down what we are, well, we're this, we're that. Jesus is everything. Always has and always will. Probably one of the most referred to scriptures in the Bible. One that we've heard since we were children in Bible class. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's his name. Jesus, that's what we count on. That's what we are banking on. If this wasn't true, we're wasting our time. We've wasted the last 40 minutes of our lives. I don't know about you, but I can hear in the back of my mind time ticking. We've wasted time that we'll never get back if that's not true. There's something about that name. It saves us. In Acts 2:38, Peter, after in his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, he's telling the Jews that this Jesus whom you crucified was the Savior. And it hit him between the eyes, gave them a gut punch, and they cried out in verse 38. It said they were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren, what can we do? And Peter responds, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean this offensive to not in the name of the Pope, not in the name of Joseph Smith, not in the name of Martin Luther, not in the name of John Calvin, of John Wesley, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way we're going to be saved. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Any one of these verses can stand totally on their own. Totally. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells the Ephesians, and ultimately us, about prayer. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we don't, we have the help when we go to God the Father in prayer, that we're going to God in the name of Jesus. That He's helping us. That God hears us as though He would hear His own Son. Go to God in prayer through Jesus. It says the same thing in Colossians. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We're going to God the Father through the name of His Son. Romans 5, verse 10, Paul wrote, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." There's something special about that name, that He can save us, that through Jesus, we are reconciled. Don't know if you've ever been in a separate situation from a friend, a spouse, a sibling for an extended period of time over something silly or severe. A lot of times it's silly. And you come back together and you're reconciled. The feeling, can you imagine being, we're reconciled back to God because of our sin through Jesus. Because of what He did. Nothing we could have done. Not one thing could we have done worthy to reconcile ourselves back to God. It took the life of His beloved Son. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, I find this interesting because you know Paul knew a lot. He knew a lot. But he claims, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, you know he knew more, but when you look at Paul's writings, when you boil it down, all of his letters, you boil it down, it all comes back to Jesus. How to live in Him, how not to stray from Him. When you do, how to repent and get back in the Word, the power of Jesus' words. Everything boils down to that. Paul was being a little bit maybe humble in this when he says, the only thing I knew is Jesus Him crucified. He knew a whole lot more than that. But it's all centered around Jesus. Told the Corinthians, says, in this long, starting in verse 9, it's a passage that we've covered numerous times. I know recently from the pulpit here how Paul gets in telling the Corinthians, you were fornicators, you were adulterers, you were covetous, you were this, you were that. Really beating them down. And don't be deceived. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in verse 11 he says, and such were some of you. You knew that about me, Paul? Yeah, I'm picturing them reading it. You knew that? You weren't even here when I did. How did you know that? And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's something special about that name. In Acts 4, Peter and the apostles had healed a lame man and had been told, don't keep preaching. Don't keep preaching. By what authority are you healing this guy? Quit preaching. You're turning Jerusalem upside down. And in verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he is made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you, love how he gets this, whom you crucified, just an extra little jab there, by whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. You judge who made this man well. You're criticizing a man being made well that was lame. I'm going to tell you who did it, not us. It's by the name of Jesus who did it. Then a little bit later in that chapter, it says, but so it spreads no farther among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They thought they thought by giving them some threats, beating them up a little bit, putting them in jail, that it would stop this teaching. And we see later on in chapter 5 where Peter says, we must obey God rather than men. And we see Peter answering. He says, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. How do you keep quiet about Jesus? How? After all the things he's done in our lives, and these men, they spent 3 years this close with him. They saw him heal. They saw him teach. They saw him embrace a leper. The love that he had. How can we but not speak the things that we've seen and heard? In Acts 8, in the account of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, as they're studying, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. It's kind of like what Paul was saying. The only thing I know is Jesus and him crucified. Philip took a passage in Isaiah and preached to him Jesus and him crucified, just like Paul. And we know the result of this. As they came down the road, they saw water and he was baptized. Philippians, Paul wrote, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's gonna happen one way or the other. We get to choose when we do it and the circumstances of when we do it. But every knee is going to bow and every name will confess. It can either be by our choice or after it's too late. With that special name, there's something special about the name. wouldn't it make sense to obey what Jesus says? And I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave this up while we're singing the invitation song. As we sing this song, there's something about that name. It is a powerful song. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:15, that we will sing with the understanding and sing with the Spirit. As we sing this song, let's focus on these words and realize the power of Jesus. And I thank you, Michael, for learning this song. And you said we're going to sing it through twice. Okay. If we can assist you during the invitation while we're singing, please come forward. Let your needs be known. Let's stand and sing as Michael leads us.